to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Yeah. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. You got your Bibles turned to Exodus 12, and we'll get our scriptures. We got an email from Sister Trudy, you know, that's gone to London to be there about 3 months, and said she arrived there safely and was thanking everybody that for being, you know, for praying for her and everything. Said it was currently about around 5 after midnight, and said she was going to go hit the bed. She was going to hit the sack. So everything's doing fine. She was in, you know, arrived there, and everything is okay. Now, I have some pictures that I'll be glad to leave up here. Brother Ernie and them came up from somebody there from Brother Biscoll's church, came up with a way to, with a machine that they put all of it together, and they can actually take a tape and put it in the machine, you know, Brother Brown's message, and in any language, it doesn't matter what language, you know, any language, they can copy a book from that. And the machine not only does that, it folds it and staples it together and do it in 2 minutes. You know, so there's some pictures here and all, if you want to see them. And I don't know what kind of a deal it was, but they're passing them out. And I'm sure the next time Brother Ernie's through, he'll explain it to us. But it's called a hub. And what they've done is they can just put it in there and just put any and print it out in any language that, you know, that's capable in the machine to print. Of course, it has to be programmed in the machine, I'm sure. But anything programmed into that, they can print out a book and have it ready in about 2 minutes for the people. And Brother Ernie, the last time I talked to him, and I talked with Brother Nestor about it, that was the one thing they were tickled about was they were able to get books that were not printed from Voice of God recordings, you know, and they were tickled to get some in the 50s and things like that that would be, you know, that they could hear and all in that. So we, you know, we appreciate that. Thank God for that being done and making it that way where it can do it, you know. And it's like I told Brother Nestor, I'm sure they'll probably get some repercussions back out of it, but, you know, you do what you can for the glory of the Lord and printing the message and all. Exodus 12. Now remember Wade, he's over preaching Brother Tim Calhoun today. And also remember now, next Sunday, the Lord willing, you know, this coming Sunday, August the 3rd, Brother Quinn will be with us for the weekend. So just remember that. And I'll just keep him in your prayers as he travels. Terrence has already announced it to most of them here, but Brother Jeffries, as far as we know, is still doing okay. He's at home because the hospice wouldn't keep him. They sent him home Tuesday because he had not deteriorated anymore. So, you know, everything's holding good, and he seemed to be responsive there, and they said he was real tickled about being at home. So just keep praying that the Lord would, you know, would be with him. That's what I told you when we were fixing to leave to go to Oklahoma. I said, and I told you what happened that the Lord showed me. I said, within 3 days, Brother Jeffries is going to be better or he's going to be dead, because that was the way that I saw it, you know. And because I was praying about something he showed me from a little tag, you know. Well, he's still alive now, so, you know, and we appreciate that. So just pray. And I never did tell the family that. I still don't know what that 3 means. There's a connection some way with the number 3 that I want to find out from them. But anyhow, you know, just keep praying for him that the Lord would bless him in every way. All right, Exodus 12. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day and the hour that we're living. We pray that you would just bless us now as we read your word, and that you would come on the scene now to each and every one of us and forgive our sins mostly, because we want to stand pure in you, and we pray that you would just do that. And now just come and open our understanding. Your word is already anointed, but we need to be anointed to speak it, and our ears need to be anointed to hear. So we pray that you would guide each one. Have your way now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Exodus 12. They're very familiar. This will be the series, I told you, or maybe about three sermons, two or three, on the token, something that the Lord spoke to me about. And I want to bring it out. So let's just read from Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Israel's first month is April. It's not January like ours. Their first month is April, okay? Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. Make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. In other words, around the whole door. Okay? And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and with the pertinence, everybody pronounce that, which means the inside thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. That's why when we have communion, we always burn the bread that night. See, because that's the point of it, to do it. And this shall ye eat, and thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, like I said, we want to try to start a point on the message of the token. Now, I've got a word to say, so hold your point. I do not agree with a statement that was made this past Wednesday, and I did discuss it with the brother at length. I do not agree that Adam placed his natural seed in Eve to preserve her. I don't agree with that, because that would make sex a preservative, and that won't work. And I was like, he said, well, I would only type in. I said, well, that's good, but just I'd use a little different word for type in her way. And see, his point was that there was some way had to preserve. Now, Abraham didn't have to have intercourse with Sarah to preserve her when she laughed at God. Brother Brown said she was a part of Abraham. And that was the reason that Abraham, he couldn't destroy Sarah, he'd had to destroy Abraham. All right, now, so the natural injection of the seed was not that in Abraham and Sarah, neither was it in Adam. And see, Adam's love was a type of Christ. All right, now, not natural seeds, see, injection. That can't type Christ. All right, then in doing that, like I said, I don't agree with that point. I know where he gets that point is, and there's a doctrine among the believers of the message, big names that are teaching that, and I do not agree with it, because Eve was a part of Adam in the creation. She didn't need a seed from Adam to preserve her. She was a part of Adam in creation. The love that Adam had for Eve was a type of Christ, and walking out with her voluntarily was typing Christ, not any form of of, you know, a sex act. Because you can't, I just can't go that away. I'm sorry if you believe that, that's up to you, because I just can't go with that. And you can say, well, we're just typing this or typing that, but I'd be careful the way I typed. Because there is no type in the Bible of sex being anything to do with preservatives. Now, I know the doctrine, I know I've heard it, and I know it, and be glad to discuss it with you, how that they say that Judah had to have intercourse with his daughter-in-law to preserve that seed. This is not a natural seed, folks. If you notice, I said at the end of the message, I said, this is not a natural seed. There's not a natural seed to this. This is a spiritual seed. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the seed of God. We are declaring his generation. And I enjoyed, now listen, I enjoyed thoroughly the message except at one point. I mean, and thoroughly. I really did. He brought up some good things. And I thoroughly enjoyed it and told him I did. But, you know, if that's offensive to any of you, I'm sorry. But I just wanted to make sure that we don't get caught with something that would somebody would plant a little seed and then it develop in the church. I just let you know that I don't agree with it. That's the point, because I believe in spiritual multiplication. Yes, sir. You know, I believe that Adam and them had to replenish the earth. But that was not to be in sex, that we call the word sex. All right? See, Adam and Eve to reproduce and, you know, replenish the earth would not have been sex. It could have been reproduction, but it wouldn't have been sex is what the fall is. See, because Satan got to Eve's mind. Right? And that made her body polluted. Okay? Now, I'm going to make this statement and I'm going to hush. See, it took a while. Now, I hope this is understood by all of you and everything in the right way. It took a while for Eve to be able to bring Adam to a condition that he could have the act. Okay? Because he was a son of God. But when he saw his love for her, all right, and when he took her and embraced her, and she explained all the things, then the act took place in the natural, because it took a while to bring him to that condition, because he was a son of God. See? But he understood what he was doing. Exactly. Okay, now, get off of that. All right. Now, as I said, we're going to talk about the token. The token. All right? Now, I got to thinking on this subject some 3 months ago, and the Lord showed me something, and I'd been studying on the token, and I won't get to it this morning. I may not get to it this afternoon, the point I want to bring. So if you miss a service, please listen to the services, because it'll be connecting, connecting, connecting. Now, this morning, it will be just natural of the word token. Okay? Now, we have to say this is the top of or something, but keep your mind for this morning in the scriptures of the word token, because we read here that, you know, Moses was told to take the lamb. Now, the children of Israel were told to do this, and I'll get back to this in a minute and repeat it. This was not the first time a sacrifice of the lamb had taken place in Exodus. The lamb had taken, it had been offered in Genesis. It had been offered throughout many things, you know, through Cain and Abel and Abraham and the covenant being made and the different things. So that's the point I want you to get. The word token in the Old Testament is used 10 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New Testament. All right. Now, all 10 times in the Old Testament that I could find was one word, which is number 226, which means a sign, a signal, sign, you know, sign, a distinguishing mark, right, a banner, an omen, a standard, or a proof. All right. So now we're going to be dealing with the sign, the token of what it is. And like I said now, it's not the first time in Exodus that the word token is used. All right? And that's what I want to just lay down throughout the Old Testament, the scriptures, and bring it up as I can, as much to the point, and then stop and then pick up this afternoon. So keep your mind with me as I'm trying to bring the point of the token. And it being a sign, see, and I gave you the definition from the prophet and the thing, of a fair price paid. All right? A token was given. Okay, let's go through the Bible now and get over to the point, so bear with me until I get to that point to where that we can speak on the spiritual condition, because, as I said, I want to bring it this natural so that you'll see that it's a sign. You say, well, we just use the word token and we do it, you know, and that's what a lot of people do. They don't even realize the word token, how many times it's used in the Bible. They just associate token with the prophet's message with Exodus 12. And don't go back and study on it to see. Let's go to Genesis 9. All right, because this is the first time the word token is used in the Bible. All right, and we'll start about verse 9 through 17. So watch now, get the point of what I want you to get. I want you to get that the token is a sign of a price paid. In other words, something is paid. And you can show that. You go down, you've heard the prophet explain it. You go down, Aaron back there has a dealing with where he works at, that you go in and you don't put money in the machine. I think technically it'll take a quarter, but still you don't do that. You go buy what you call a token. All right? And you take those tokens and you put them in the machine. And you know, you play the games, you do the things. And that's a common kind of word among us, is a token. The prophet said you go down to the railroad company and you buy a token, or as a ticket. See? You go in to the bus depot and you say, I want to go to New York. And they give you a little piece of paper showing that, or airline ticket, is the same thing. It's all a token, because what is it? It's a sign that the price is paid. Now, if you don't get nothing this morning, get that point. A token shows the price is paid. Now, that's why I want to use it for these different ways, see, and then come down to show that the token shows that a life has been taken. All right, now that's what we're going to, but I want you to hold a natural to where it's done. All right, verse 9. Genesis 9, verse 9. Okay, we're still going to have the baptism this afternoon. All right, baptism this afternoon after the evening service, okay? All right. And I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, and of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you. Now watch the reason I want to read this, see, who this is made with. This is a sign to the world. This is a sign to the animals. This is a sign to mankind. You go out in your yard, this is the token to the rainbow. You go out in your yard and you're washing your car and the sun's shining, just take your water hose and spray it up in the air like that, and you'll see a rainbow. When you see a cloud come up, if you look at it and the conditions are exact, you'll see a rainbow. Alright? See, because that's the covenant. Now it's made with who? And with every living creature that is with you, the fowl and the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, it's not going to ever happen. You may have tsunamis, you may have all kind of things, but it's not going to destroy the world, because the Bible says it. All right, now. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. See, in other words, not eternal, but perpetual. Keeps on going until we get out of here. All right. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth.
And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. All right. So now it's not dealing with blood. The first one's not dealing with blood. It's dealing with a rainbow. Right? That's in the clouds. All right? And he said, I won't destroy. This is my covenant. And I give you a token. The covenant, see, was said, I won't destroy with water. Okay? The token, you see, the covenant is made.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
I won't destroy. Okay? With water anymore. But in, to show that to you, I give you a covenant point or a sign of a token, which is the rainbow.
Amen.
All right. So the rainbow in the sky, you go out, as I said, on any given occasion, you go out and you can, in a cloud, if you're in the correct position, you can see a rainbow. Now, the saying is this, that you can't see a whole rainbow. All right. Now, that's true in the natural upon the earth because of the contour. You can see from one side to the other, which on a rare occasion, very rare, you've got to be positioned exactly. But every time I see that, I think of the covenant that God made. Now, the rainbow was not the covenant. The covenant was made. The rainbow was a token, see, to show that that would never happen. Or to transmit a sign to earth, man, animals, etc., a sign that a price had been paid. All right. In other words, I'm keeping my word. All right. So you go out, like I said, you see a half a rainbow, but when you get over in Revelation 5, it says a rainbow round about the throne. Well, the only time I've ever seen that, and it's on very, very rare occasion, how many have ever seen a rainbow around the moon? Or a circular form around the moon? See, which would be a type of the church. But on a rare, very, very rare occasion, you can see that circle around the moon and the things that will happen at the right point. All right. But now listen. All right, move on. Exodus. See, we're just going to go through the Bible, pick up these tokens, but purely for the point of saying, God is making a covenant. All right? I won't destroy the world with water. Now, I give you a sign. I give you a token that will always be there to show that I'm going to keep my word. All right, Exodus 3. Find my glasses. Verse, go to about verse 10. 3 and 10. Now this is when God is sending Moses down to Egypt. And he says, come now therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. Now there's his promise, right? Covenant. Right? Same as over there, it won't rain, you know, destroy the world. I will be with, in other words, Moses, you go, I'm with you. Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee. Now, Moses, I'm going to give you a sign. What? See, the sign that I sent you. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. All right? So we know that's what took place. They went down into Egypt. Moses did. God proved he was with him. And he came back out to the mountain. Were the same place that he had met him. The whole mountain was on fire, right? As a token to Moses, or a sign that God would keep his word. In other words, I'm sending you down. In other words, if you go back and study it like this, God would be saying, Moses, I've come down to set my people free. I'm going to send you. And Moses said, that's great. We know he went on down, needed a personal revelation to say, I am that I am. You know, he needed that. All right. But a covenant was made with Moses that, Moses, you go and I'll go with you. and I'll bring you back here. And that will be a token unto you that I sent you, because I'll bring you right back here to this same mountain. And I'll appear to the people. All right? So he kept his word. So remember, a covenant is made. A token is a sign of the covenant. In other words, a promise is made. A token is a sign. You go down to the bus depot. What do? You don't get to New York. You only get the ticket. Right? You've got a problem or a position. You've got to move maybe that away. It maybe has to go through that. Moses had to go down to Egypt and bring the children back. But was there anything to keep Moses from bringing them back? Right? Was there anything that could have stopped him? Why? Because God promised it. What did Moses depend on? Like Brother Brown said, he throwed his staff down, or his rod, and it became a serpent. And there comes Jannes and Jambres. They throwed theirs down, and Moses probably, back to him. Oh, no, he didn't back up. He just stood still. He just stood there. Why? He just stood still. Why? Because if God made the promise, then why are you worried? That's what I said about Brother Jeffries. If that was God speaking to me, if it wasn't, it was a good thought. But if it was God,
amen,
then within 3 days he'd be a dead or alive.
I believe that.
All right? That was just, you just say it and stand still.
Right.
It ain't up to me to produce it.
That's right.
It ain't up to you to produce anything. Just say what God tells you and just stand still on it.
Amen.
Though everybody in the world differs with you, just stand still on it.
Right.
Moses didn't go down there and get scared every time they could do what he could do. He's, okay. We got another day coming because God's sending me back. Because he had one thing. He had the promise of God that he would go down and bring them back to that mountain, and there was nothing could stop him from doing that. Like we've all preached about it. Brother Richard's been on it and everything. That when David was anointed to be king, it didn't make no difference how many giants and how many bears and how many lions or how many whatever come along. Didn't make no difference. Until he sat on that throne as king, he knew that was the word of the Lord. See, that's the way we all ought to believe it. That's the way it is here. All right, go over to Numbers now, 17. It's trying to get you to see now. A covenant is made, a promise is made, and then a sign comes. All right? See, when God shows you something, just stand still. Don't worry about it. Just go on. God will take care of it. See? He's not going to fail us. Number 17, verse 5. Now watch this one now. Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece. In other words, they got into problems, kind of who's going on. Yeah. Now, who's in charge? Go back and read it, and you'll get it kind of like, let's have a little problems. Moses said, now Aaron is the one. In other words, he's in charge. Because I've made my promise with him. Numbers 17. I made my promise. He was set aside to be the high priest, in other words, the one accepted of me, and I'm going to back him up. All right? Now, watch it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, see, 12 of them, because that's who they were, for each prince one according to their father's house, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi had budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. Now, overnight. Dead stick. He probably cut that thing down 20 years before then. You know, used it to walk on and beat up animals or whatever he had to do with it, you know. But when it got around, what'd God do with it? And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. See? All right. Moses didn't want to kill them. But he said, I want you to see that God has told me now who's in charge of this, about doing these things of the order of Aaron. But I'm going to give you a token, a sign. And that sign is that his rod is going to blossom, but in other words, it's going to come alive and yours is going to stay dead. All right. So when they did, out it comes. A token. A sign given. A contract made. A covenant made. And a sign, because when God does anything, he always gives you a sign. When he tells you something, he'll give you a sign. All right? See, just hold on to that. Don't worry about it. All right? Go to Joshua. Joshua 2. Are you following my point now? Trying to get you to see, God makes a promise, makes a covenant, then gives you a sign. Now listen. It's a sign that God, now write this down because it'll be valuable as we go along. It's a sign that whatever is already he's saying, God has already done it. All right, now it's not a sign of something to come. As far as God is concerned, the rainbow was in the sky before the rainbow was ever said. As far as God was concerned, the whole mountain was there for the children of Israel to stand in front of. He just transmits that down to you. It's already done. All right. Now watch when we get back to it about the blood. And the covenant, see. Because I always thought we believed what the Bible said, that he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But we want something to happen. See, Lord, if that's you, you make it come to pass and I'll tell everybody. Sometimes he's wanting you to say it whether you got it or not. Is that right, Brother Harris, when you said water will be in the well in 3 days? Well, it'd be easy to stand there. 1, 2, 3. God told me 3 days ago there'd be water in the well. Now, sometimes he wants you to say it before there's one drop of water. He wants you to say it. Now, that's not bragging or trying to do anything. It's just telling it like it is. When God tells you something, just say it. And it got so much with me until people were just so making ridicule about what I've said over the years until I just finally developed a way of saying it. I just say, something told me. And that's up to you. That's up to you whether it's God or not. I just say, something told me. He said, well, Brother Dale, you ought to say God told you. No, the reason I don't say it that way is because people ridicule it, and I don't want you to ridicule it and something happened to you. He said, well, you mean that's how easy it is to steal the Holy Ghost? If you were to make light of what somebody said, I wouldn't make light of the Pope if he come out and told me something's going to happen. I just, okay, we'll wait and see. Just leave it alone and don't just wait and let God take care of things. But just say what God gives you. All right. Joshua 2. Everybody knows where this is at. And what it is. About Rahab and the spies. All right. Let's go to about verse 10 to save reading. Rahab is saying to them, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things," listen, "our hearts did melt." Big old guy standing out there with big old armor on, you know. "Let him Israelites come on through. Lord, just take the wall down. Boom, take the, open the door, let's go out and fight them." No, 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 no. They was behind the wall, praying to their God, hoping that their God would keep that wall between them and the Israelites. They're scared to death. That's what she says. She says, "Our hearts melted." And Brother Branham, let me quote him about it. He said, she said, "Give me a sign," because said, "I don't want to die with these bunch of unbelievers." And that's the way he said it. She is concerned. "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." Now you know what's happened. The scarlet thread they were let down by, they said, "You leave that, and you've got our word." All right now. You say, well, they didn't have Joshua's word. Now, come on, listen. When we send in America, just in the natural, when we send an ambassador to some of these countries, that ambassador would get up there and say, "We're going to give you all the wheat that's grown in the United States this year." There ain't nothing they can do about it but give it, because that's the word. Because they sent him. They sent him. All right. Joshua sent them men. They knew that they could say it and Joshua would back it up. So they said, "All right, you leave that scarlet thread hanging up, what you let us down with, you leave it." And said, "Your house will be taken care of." Well, now you know what happened. The whole walls fell down. The whole earth swallowed up all the walls. All right. And as it did, they just went down in the earth. But here stood that section right where they live. When they got there, Joshua said, "Okay," because the men went back and told them. And Joshua said, "All right, now go get them and bring them out." All right. See, Rahab then wound up marrying one of those Israeli generals. And right out of there come the lineage coming down to Christ. So don't use the wrong thing. All right. Because it was what God could do. But now listen. Do you understand what happened there? A sign, a token was given to those, you know, the two spies. And said, "Now you do this and we will keep our word. And we give you a token." Now listen, just plain language now. I talk plain because she didn't even say, "Just give me your word." That's what love is. Just give me your word. She didn't say that, did she? She said, "I want a true token. I want a sign from you." Amen. "That I won't die." Because see, all of this is going to type Christ and type the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. See? But I'm using it to show you the natural things of a token had nothing to do with the blood on every occasion. See? It's not pertaining to the blood. All right? Now, go over to Exodus 13. Verse 11. I'm just reading the points to get you the background. Verse 11, while you're getting there, of Exodus 13. "And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrax, in other words, the firstborn. And every firstling that cometh of a beast, which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. Now remember what happened in Egypt when the firstborns all died. But now God is setting up to put that firstborn, because the firstborn of animals and man now has to be redeemed. All right? So you understand what he's saying then? And thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrax, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And ever firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be with thee when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrax, being males, listen, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. See, because the firstborn and the like the lamb, it had to be the firstborn, it had to be the certain way, and had to be all right, but the children's gonna be redeemed. Watch now. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. All right. Now here, the token is speaking of the redemptive, or redeeming the firstborn. Or the fact of an animal that would be an offering for a firstborn. So now listen to what I'm saying now, and you'll understand. That's why I chose this way to get your point to think. See, now we're moving closer toward the token that's in your mind about the blood shall be a token. You understand what I'm doing? I'm moving it closer. We start here, rainbow, see, this, Rahab, see, the token. Now what is it? Getting closer, because now we're dealing with how to redeem. And it'll be a token. A sign to you that when you get ready to make a sacrifice, don't just go out and grab anything. Make it be a firstborn, make it be a pure, make it be right. And you do that now to redeem all your firstborn. And see, we can go on into this and cover how the firstborn was to be set aside really to come into the priesthood. So you can cover those things throughout it, because, you know, but I just don't have time to do it. But see, that's why, like, you know, Samuel's mother, right. Give me a child, and I'll give him unto thee. See, all right. Samson was that away. See, that's many more was that away to be given unto the Lord. See? And each one had to be redeemed. All right. So they'd have to do something with blood. Now you're getting closer to the sign. All right, now go on over while we're at it. Go back, or jump back to Genesis 17. All right. And you'll see that we're getting closer. You know, we're getting closer to what we want to see. All right. So Genesis 17, start with verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. The covenant seed. What? I'm choosing you. I'm choosing your people. All right. I'm not dealing now with everybody. I'm not going to work with everybody. I'm going to choose a special people. And you're going to circumcise all the male. And that's your token, is the circumcision. Now we know that's the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? All right. But see, the token, the covenant was made betwixt me and thee, not all the people of the world. See? It's narrowing down now. Not to all everybody in the world, but to the chosen people of Israel, out of all of the nations, and a lot of those nations were interbred between Israelites and Moabites or whatever, there turned out to be Moabites, interbred between this and that one and all kind of things. Half-breeds. Needed to make a covenant with them. But yet a lot of them were circumcised. Because if you'd come into Israel, they made you do that. Right? In other words, there was no way to become into camp. Even the mixed multitude that was when the children of Israel, they were circumcised. Because you couldn't be in the camp without that. You remember the story over there where a man took one of these Judah or one of them sister and laid with her? You know? Now had he come into the camp, become an Israelite in other words, he'd become a proselyte, he might have lived. But instead, he didn't. Because he'd already done his act. And when he did, the people, the children of Jacob went out, and they devised a plan. Okay, Daddy, you want them to come in. You want the old boy to be all right because the girl loves him. Go ahead, get them all circumcised. So they took all of the men of that tribe, not just the guy that was the one that was guilty, all the men of that tribe, and they circumcised all of them. And they waited a couple of days until everything got real sore and they couldn't move around too good and fight. And they just went in there and killed all of them. Preach by. They just went in and killed every one of them. Why? Because they'd done the wrong thing. Like I said, had he come in and got circumcised and went on, they might have been accepted. But he wouldn't. The Israel values that. You've heard Brother Branham make the statements even in the token message over and over. He said, I can prove to you. Come around behind the building and I'll show you my sign, in other words. Because they lay on that circumcision. Every child has to be circumcised. Why? Because that is a token or a sign of a covenanted, how do you say, covenant people? That's a sign that your children of Israel were chosen for that. And look when it takes place. Verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with your money of any stranger, which is not of that seed. Right? If it's not even in the, if not even in there, you're going to, if they're bought, servants and everything, you know. They laid heavily on that circumcision. All right, now there you're coming to the shedding of blood. Do you understand what I'm getting closer and closer? You're coming now to the shedding of the blood because the animal had been sacrificed in the previous type we were talking about as a token. Now, the human being must be circumcised to be in the covenant. You remember the children of Israel? They circumcised all of them, and then they started out into the wilderness, and all at once everything went wrong, and they didn't have time to do the circumcising, so they got ready to go into Canaan. And God told, when Moses died and went on, God told Joshua, hold it. You can't go in until you circumcise all of them that was born in the wilderness. Very strict. So they had a time, they circumcised all of the males, then they were allowed to go into Canaan. Because, see, the circumcision is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because they're cutting off of the foreskin, they're cutting off of the unclean. Right, try not to be too point, you know, blunt. But cutting off, alright. And see, then it was done on the 8th day. Now watch, this is one of the things you'll find in the Bible that can be done on the Sabbath. A lot of things can't be done on the Sabbath. See, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't. But this one can, because every 8 days. See? So you don't count and say, okay, Sabbath comes in, we got to go one more. No. You went in and had this done on the eighth day. That's when Jesus come for his time. See, it's got to be the eighth day. Why? Because speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, eternal life that would come. What? And a token of it. Look what Israel's got, church. Listen. Israel has a token, but they don't have the possession of the life. But they still got the sign, and they're still keeping the sign. That's how close Israel values that. They're still keeping their sign in the flesh. Well, that shows flesh won't work. That shows it can't be a natural genetic that could happen in the garden and you, or anywhere down through there, that you'd use sex as a form of preservatives. Amen. Or carrying on of lineages and stuff like that. God does those things.
Right.
It can't be something that can be done in the natural. We say, oh, well, this needs to be done, so I'll do it this way, and God will use that. Now, don't plan things, folks. Don't play garbage can with the Bible. Because if anything ever gets me upset, it's when people start doing that. Now, I don't mean I get mad. I try my best to hold my cool and be the best I can, and I think that the other person believes that. And I'm like Brother Perry Green said one time. He said, you got to remember, that man may not heard what you heard. See, you don't see me get up here right behind somebody and just lambast away on it. No, I do it in a diplomatic, nice Christian way, I think. And I'll even tell you this. The Lord spoke to me while me and him was talking and told me to tell him that, and I didn't do it. Come on. You can believe that if you want to. I told my wife as a witness to that point. He told me, he said, this subject, bring it up. We were discussing some other things, you know, just talking on a general run of the message and about the River Jordans and the doctrines that's going around. And it come right down twice. Come on. I wouldn't do it. Well, I don't want to be hateful. Nobody thinks I am. I want to save everybody. I'm a human being. If there's anybody got problems in this world, it's me. Not my problem. But to stand for the word, I'm the pastor. I got to say it, and I don't want to. I told Brother Dick a while ago about it, and I said, I'd sure like to be an evangelist. Because you can just go in and stir up things and leave the country. And you don't have to go back that way anymore. And if it was me, I never would get to go back. But anyhow, don't worry about it. But listen, the sign of circumcision, see, now requires that blood come forth. You understand what I'm trying to do with the token? Getting you to see a sign. Getting you to see that a sign comes forth. And it's a perpetual sign. See? You remember we read that in a minute there, go in the scriptures about the animals and the thing. Now it's a covenant sign. See? A covenant sign of the circumcision. See? Which requires the bringing forth of blood to do the circumcision. See? But it's to take off all that's not necessary. And it starts bringing the type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost more into purity. See? You understand what I'm saying? See, you go from one being the token of the rainbow, that's to everybody. See? Now you're bringing it down to a group of people. See? You're bringing it down to Moses with a group of people. This is going to set you aside from every other nation around the world. You're going to have a token in your flesh. But it's a token of a covenant made in the heart.
Right. Amen.
All right. Is that right now? Okay. Circumcision is a sign or token in the flesh of man and was the thing that set them aside as the children of Israel, as a covenant people. I want you to make sure and understand that. See, this was a sign in the flesh, whereas the other ones was dealing with signs maybe to the people. You know. Even the sacrificing of animals and the thing was a sign to the people. All the other tokens we've used up till now is a sign to the people. Now is a sign in the people. Now you're coming close to the sign. All right. To where? Let's go to Exodus 12 now. I'm trying to lay this down as much as I can to where that it's like that was given to me, to where that we can see the point. Right. Exodus 12. Maybe I may have this wrong. Right. All right. Yeah, let's go from Exodus 12. Let's get this now. And lay it down in order, because we were using the other while ago, and the token, the point. But listen to what it said. Let's start in Exodus 12 and verse 6. In other words, you go back, and it's the choosing of the lamb to be made. All right. Coming down to the Passover. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door. Now, this is the same scripture we read, but just bear with me. See, coming down to what? To where? That it would be a token, but what I want you to see is verse 10, so go back to that. All right. Verse 10 and 11. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on, your feet, and your staff in your hand. Now, wait till we get to the last part of this message of the stature of a perfect man. All right? Fully dressed. Then you'll see what the prophet's saying in the message, and it won't be confusing. But listen. And your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. See? Now you're coming into, what is it, Leviticus and the things of the Passover. You're coming to a time, see, that you're bringing it down. Now listen to the point. You're bringing it down to where a covenant is giving you the Passover, because he's going to pass over you when you see it. But this is truly the communion.
Amen.
All right. Now, are you following?
Amen.
This is the communion, the Passover.
Right.
All right. See? Then the communion is a whole lot more than just types and shadows.
Right.
It's only for, now here's my point, the communion is only for a covenant people.
Right. Amen.
Now, we don't lay on this heavily because we leave it up to you. But the prophet said you don't have no right to take communion if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So I don't push that much. You think I'm hard, but I don't push a lot of things hard. But that's what your prophet said. You don't have a right of that unless you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? This part where it's a token, the blood shall be a token. Now watch what I'm saying. This is the point I want you to get, because this will help later in the message. This token the prophet's talking about when we get to the message. See, he's talking about the blood being a token back there. All right, now this is the words he says. He says, because for there to be a blood. Now, there first had to be a life taken. All right. Because the life is in the blood. Now, if I don't have time to get there, we'll just pick up here this afternoon, so it'll be all right, don't matter. I want you to see what I'm talking about. In this, where he's using the Exodus of the blood shall be a token, just get the point. They had already made the sacrifice. Right. That was not the first sacrifice. The first sacrifice of an animal was when God killed the animal and took the skins from the animal. The second time is when Cain and Abel in their heart, and Abel slew a lamb. So this is not the beginning of just when a token of, oh, well, we get away over here now, and we got all the way in the journey, and all at once the token appears. No. Remember, the token is a sign. The token, the blood over the doorpost, was a sign that those people inside that house had offered a lamb in their place. The blood was the sign that the life had been taken or given in their place. See? Now moving up from the circumcision sign. But now pulling it back to where we can see that that animal, the life had to go out. And I'll get to it later in the message, so, because this is misquoted by everybody. I'm just plainly stating it. 99% of people, what I've heard talk about this, quote it this way. The token never come into existence till the evening time. And that made mass confusion among the people of the message, because those that don't believe the Holy Ghost is here said, see there, the token of the Holy Ghost never come. Brother Branham is not even talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the token of the blood of the animal back there. We will read that. It is only a type. But see, you get everybody to do it and they say, oh, the token never come until the evening time. The prophet said the token come on the day of Pentecost. What's he talking about? But now watch. The first time, see, Moses was told what to do. Now listen. As I said, now here's the point I want you to get for a minute. We got one more in the Old Testament if I have time. Exodus 12, Moses was told what to do with the blood. The blood had already been making atonement before then. God made the atonement for Adam and Eve and shed the blood, and the prophet said the blood on those skins flapping on Adam and Eve as they went out of the garden. God made the first sacrifice. Alright? Abel made it. God made the first one, Genesis 3 and 21. Abel made an offering, Genesis 4 and 4. Noah made an offering, Genesis 8 and 20. Abram was offered, and that's one we're going to get back to in just a minute. Abraham was given a covenant in Genesis 15, 8 and 9. The ram was in the thicket, Genesis 22 and 13, for Abraham to offer. See, the lamb had been slain many times. The Exodus, the account of the, this shall be a token. No, it had not been called a token. It did in the animal we were referring to right a while ago, but it didn't come on out into a clarity. All right, are you following me? See, now you're looking at that the lamb had already been offered. What was Moses told? Moses told the children of Israel, Exodus 12 and 7, take the blood and apply it. He was told what to do with the blood. And he said, the blood that is applied shall be a token. That's why Brother Branham said, when you apply the token to your home, kick out that garbage stuff. Right. But now listen. The blood shall be unto you as a token, because the life has gone out. Alright? The life has gone out of the animal. And I've looked down and you've done what I told you to do. Moses was telling him what to do. To apply the token. Now when we get back to this afternoon, watch it real close. Brother Brown said God done three things. First, he sent a prophet. Right. He said he sent a pillar of fire to back up that prophet. And he said, thirdly, he sent a message. So now when you get to this Exodus account, Moses has already went down to Egypt. Moses was the prophet. He had brought his sign to Egypt and things. His sign had been given. The pillar of fire followed him, right? But said now he's coming to his message. Moses is now coming to his message. Because he got the people out of Egypt.
Right.
Come on, bring it down. Brother Branham, come to restore the faith of the fathers.
Right.
Had the pillar of fire, right?
Right?
But his message begun in the seal. Is that right? According to the rapture message and the things he said. That not in years of preparation, because that was restoring what was there. But he said a message would come. What does this message do? Tells us what to do with the token. This message don't bring the token. That's what everybody thinks. They think I got the message, so I got the token. That doesn't mean that. The token's a baptism of the Holy Ghost, and if you don't have that token, you're not in the covenant. Come on. But are you listening? Moses was told to apply the blood. That blood had already been offered many times. Alright? When that blood was offered those many times, then it could wind up being to where they could understand what was going on. Wait a minute, I'm trying to find the one. What I want you to go to, you don't have to turn back because it's not mentioned the word token. But what I want you to turn or think about in the last, that you remember when in Genesis 15, when Abraham is given a covenant, what took place? He offered the animals, right? The turtle doves, the lambs, the pigeons, the things was all laid out. God took care of that sacrifice. And wouldn't that a token to Abraham? Of the life that had went out of the animal. Because if you don't get nothing of the day, get that message, and we'll close in a second. A token meant something had taken place. The world had been destroyed with water, a promise that it would never be destroyed anymore. Right? Token of the rainbow. A token of circumcision. A token of the things, a token to Rahab. Because when she was standing there with those two men, they were the ones that was going to be her protection, right?
Right.
They took back the message, and when they did, Joshua said, I'll honor your word.
Right.
Now we've come down to a point that I want you to see and watch it. A prophet comes. Moses. He's vindicated down in Egypt by the pillar of fire and many signs taking place. He's given even a token personally to bring them back to a mountain, and to bring them back to the mountain would be a token to him. But see, then when he comes to the position, he's not telling you to offer the lamb. The lamb had already been offered. They offered it. That's what I was trying to get you to see with the Exodus, to reread it. That it was the Passover that was taking place. From the Passover came the blood. The Passover was the lamb to be offered, and you eat the lamb. And the blood of that lamb was taken and put over the doorpost as a token that death would not be able to enter that home.
Right.
All right. See? Meaning the lamb had already died.
Right.
The token always signifies something has taken place.
Right.
When Moses was told that this blood would be a token, he was already a prophet. He had already destroyed Egypt. And he comes out of there, and God says, okay, you've been offering this lamb. It's been offered by Abel. It's been offered by God himself. It's been offered by Noah. It's been offered all the way down through. Abraham offered it. All of these offered this lamb. But said, now, I won't tell you what to do. Take the blood as a sign that the life of the animal is gone. Not that the life of the animal is going to be gone, that the life of the animal is already gone out. The baptism of the Holy Ghost didn't come before Jesus Christ died. It couldn't do that. Yet it was in Him. But it couldn't come forth and do us any good until the crucifixion. Right? Get that point and read the token message and listen to the prophet. It showed that a life had already been given. The token was the sign that what had already taken place. Now if we ever get that and just keep that throughout the rest of the message, you'll see what I'm driving at. When you see that token appear, just remember, it's already taken place. When you see it speaking of a token, it's already been done. Don't look for something to happen. That's where our trouble's at. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make it happen because we're looking for something to happen. Don't worry about it. Just hold on. God will take care of it. I said a while ago, if he tells you something, just say it and forget it. It ain't up to you to produce it. It's up to God to take care of it if he gives you his word. Like we've always talked about, you know, that God would bankrupt heaven to make sure you got something. But are you following me? See, the blood of the Lamb would be a token to Israel that the requirement that Jehovah had made had already been made. All right. Now, I hadn't got to any of what I wanted to say, so I better just read this one or quote it to you, and then we'll go from here. See, the animal was used of Satan and the beast to cause the fall. Isn't that true? With no eating of apples, it was the beast to cause the fall. Alright, so I gave you one on where you're starting on number one on your notes, and then we'll start from there this evening, which is page 102 of the Church Age book. Animal had caused the fall. Animal life would have to be shed to make an atonement. And the shedding of all of those animals was a token. What? That the life had went out. The believer had to put his hand on the animal and feel the life of that animal going out and the blood splattering over him because they just cut their throat, in other words. And he laid his hand down there feeling that, seeing the life going out and the blood splattering all over him. And he looks up at the high priest, and the high priest says, your sins are forgiven because you made the atonement. Where was the token? The sign to him. The word that was brought to him. Come on, are you listening? Rainbow meant the cloud had already come. Meant judgment had already been met. Meant everything was over. The word of the priest. I hope you're listening. The word of the priest is the one that said your sin is forgiven. Because you've offered Jehovah's requirement. There's your token. Was the voice of the priest. Animal had caused the fall or been used in the fall. It wasn't the animal's fault. You know that. He was used of Satan. Because that animal there wasn't just a beast or some kind of a monkey or a chimpanzee. It was, we know the story. Even Scofield says in his footnotes that animal was an upright creature, that beast that walked in the garden. Wasn't no snake crawling. That's what was made to him when he was done wrong. But are you listening? What does token mean to you? A sign that something's already taken place. You don't get the bus ticket until you pay the price. Right? You don't go in and they hand you a ticket and then you pay your money. No, you give your money. You give the money, they give you the ticket. The ticket is your token that the price has been paid. Right? Yeah. So that's where we start to see that the life had went out of that animal and had paid the price. But the believer had to believe it. And I'm just as honest as I can be, plain in language. I don't believe every person that laid an animal down and they cut their throat got their sins forgiven. I don't believe that. I'm just plain. I blunt and say what I believe. It was when that worshiper, in honesty and sincerity, of the sincereness of his heart, of the best he could do, because it's like Abel was. Brother Branham said, Abel, what? He knew by revelation. That's why the bud can speak. You see where it's so hard to preach because there's too many thoughts coming in? See? Abel said, I have done what God said for me to do. Because Cain, it was not your works, it's not your food, it's not your doings. It's faith in the blood. A believer has to go up by faith and lay his hands upon the animal. And then when the life went out of the animal, he knew the price was paid. And if the priest was any priest or whatsoever, and he looked down there and he seen that man down there just laughing and giggling, because that's the way a lot of people do in their salvation. Right? Brother Brown said, seeing them walking up through there, chewing gum, blowing gum, laughing and talking, coming up. That one baptism, if I ain't mistaken, it was told about him, that there was one baptism, and I believe it's the one when the angel of the Lord came down. If I'm wrong on that, correct me, but I know it happened one time. Brother Brown told the ladies that there's all laughing and all. He said, you go back, you're not worthy to be baptized. See, if that priest that was doing that, if he's a true priest, and he looked down and he seen the gigging in life, and he'd say, go and get right and then bring you another animal. Because it's all in sincerity. It's not just in because you walk up and lay it down. It's not because you say, I believe the message. We'll review what we're talking about many times, because Moses was told to apply the token. Not to just talk about it. You and I have to apply the token. Come on, brother. Apply the token. And believe it. Except what God has said. Bring these notes back now this afternoon, please. And we'll have to run them. I've got the others for this afternoon. Which is all we get. That's all right with me. I'm not in no hurry. I'm just trying to do my best to get you to see one thing. The token is a sign that the price has been paid. Whether it was destroying the world in a rainbow, the rainbow was the token. Something had taken place before the token comes into view. Alright, now last time I'm saying it again to where you remember it. God sent a prophet. He vindicated that prophet with a pillar of fire. And then the prophet brought his message. To show you what I'm talking about, Moses went down there as a prophet, right? Destroyed Egypt by his very word with a pillar of fire following him. And then when he come out, he's now going to deliver his message. Take the blood and apply it. Don't play around with it. Apply it to your door, because if you don't, the death angel is going to strike. You've heard Brother Brown say it, say, here stands a priest maybe, and he's stirring the blood. Yeah. He's stirring the very blood of the Lamb. He said, I'm not going to put it on my house. I ain't nicing up my new home, you know, fancy home with this blood. He said he died. He died. He said, because your token must be displayed publicly. God don't give you the Holy Ghost to hide in a closet and speak in tongues and shout hallelujah. Come out and live like the devil. It's to be applied to where you're living all day. Let's stand.
Let's try 245 in the red book.
245. Anybody has a need? Weigh my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me? Anybody have a need? See, that token is a sign. A sign that a price has been paid. Freedom is here if you want it. If not, death is in the land. God's not responsible for anybody out up from under the token. That's why as the head of the house and all like that, as a pastor, I try to preach it the best way I can. Where we can have the token applied. But we don't want death in the land. Oh, praise you. Is that true? Oh, that makes me white as snow. No, found I. Nothing but the blood. Just sing that to one another as you leave. You're dismissed. Walk in a. Nothing but the blood.